Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Hey, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to Prophetic Atmosphere with Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I am so excited tonight that you have taken time out of your busy schedule to come to the table and to sup with me as we just feast on the Word of God this evening. I'm excited about what God is doing in each and every one of your lives. Amen. I'm also praying for each and every one of you. Just want to send a big thank you and lots of love to all of those who support Prophetic Atmosphere. Just want to let you know it touches my heart deeply. Want to let you know that I'm praying for each and every one of you, and I'm praying that you are beginning to walk out your kingdom, destiny, and assignment that God has ordained for you. Amen. I'm hoping and praying that this is your moment, your timing. Amen, for you to come forth and emerge forth and to complete the work that God has already ordained for you to do. Just want to let you know, please go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you can learn more about us in the ministry, which is Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. You can learn more about myself and my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. You can also learn about the churches that we cover overseas that are under our ministry. Also, people of God, want to let you know that speaking about those churches, not only do they need your prayers, but they also need your financial support as well. Take some time out as you visit our website and just begin to visit those men of God, women of God. They also have Facebook pages as well. If you go to our Facebook page or to their Facebook page even, you can find out in its entirety what they are doing with the ministry that God has given them. Amen. You can see what God has been doing through them and for them. Amen. And you can also see where you can push your support towards, amen, to fulfilling the assignment that God has on their lives, amen. And also, speaking of the Facebook page, we have a Facebook page as well. We want you to like us on our Facebook page under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or you can find us under Women of Prophetic Destiny. Excuse me. Both of those, please use your name, you know, give us a shout out your church, your ministry, even if you want a prayer request, your praise report, whatever God is doing for you and in your life, please let us know. We will pray with you, touch and agree with you, watching God move on your behalf, amen. Also, on our website, www.ctkr.org, we do have a contact date. If you would like myself or my husband, Apostle McQueen, to come and speak at your program, or if you have or your ministry or your church, please put your information there, and someone will contact you within 24 to 48 hours. Amen? Amen. Just want to let you know, in the way of announcements, every Tuesday at 7 p.m., every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. And on Thursdays, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 p.m. People of God, we do have archives, so if you miss us tonight, you can always go back to the archives. Amen. You can also go to our Facebook pages and also pick up there our current teachings, amen, that God has laid upon our heart to do, amen, and give to his people, amen. And those are the announcements, amen, for this week. Pray for us as next week as we travel out of town for ministry. We'll be heading to Maryland, amen. That's my husband's old stomping grounds, and he's excited like a kid in the candy store because that's all he ever talks about is Maryland. And you know what? Honestly, I love Maryland too. I have to be honest about it. I had a wonderful time there. They church like crazy there. Amen. Amen. So had a wonderful time doing that type of stuff. So we're just going there for the ministry. So pray for our travels. Amen. Amen. Now, if you would, grab your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians 3 and 12, the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 12. We're going to do a little bit of reading on tonight as we minister before the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to speak tonight as he wants to, and just allow him to minister as he wishes to. Amen. So that we can ultimately, the bottom line, as I've always said, so that we can walk out our kingdom assignment and our kingdom purpose in the earth. Amen. That's Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Let us read. Not that I have already attained, coming out of the New King James Version, or am already perfected, but I press on, this is Paul speaking, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press, someone needs to say I'm pressing, towards the mark or towards the goal, amen, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Come on, let us pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I magnify you. I glorify you. God, I thank you for these precious people that have joined me here in the chat room, those that are going to join on the archives, those that are listening in on the switchboard right now. I bless them right now. I speak a blessing over them, Father, in Jesus' name. I speak that you will open doors for them, God. I speak that you will make every crooked way straight. Father, I speak that you would bring them closer into their destiny, closer into their purpose, helping those complete their assignment, and helping those to say yes who are beginning their assignment. Helping those to say yes as you're processing them to the assignment, for the assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, right now, I decrease, you increase. Right now, in the name of Jesus, begin to speak through as the oracle of the Most High. Speak through me. Move as you want to move, Holy Spirit. I make way for you right now. Open up this word, God. Breathe wisdom and understanding right now in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking now. Shift and shake, God. Open up the mind, take the scales off our eyes, unstop our deaf ears, God. Tear down every excuse, tear down every lie, tear down every falsehood, God. Help us to see truth, not only see it, but speak truth. Father, in Jesus' name, put the fire of God in our mouth, in your leader's mouth, in your people's mouth. Put your word in our mouth, in our bellies, Father, that when we open our mouths to minister, that the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the anointing, the power that destroys all yokes, will begin to manifest in our lives. in the name of Jesus. God, right now, set us on fire for your purpose. Set us on fire for your will to be done. God, let us lay aside every weight that so easily besets us in the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking in your name, Father, you that you would just give us your power and your strength to complete this work in Jesus' name. Oh, God, even now, stir us up that we would live a righteous and a holy life before you. God, put it down in our souls, in our spirits, that we want to be saved, that we want to be whole, that we want you to be pleased with our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, that when we begin to go forth and lay hands on the sick, that we will see the manifestation of your healing. God, when we lay hands on those who are blind, that we will see the manifestation, that they will see the manifestation of sight. God, when we lay hands on those that are bound by the hands of the enemy, that we will see chains fall off, that we will see the devil cast out of the lives of your people. God, it is time for us to walk in the manifestation and the power of your glory. You have these words, and you walk in both of them at the same time. Father, we're asking for that now. We need to see your glory, God. We need to see your glory manifested in our lives, in this earth, in the name of Jesus. Now, God, I give your name all praise. I give your name all glory and honor. You are worthy of the praise. You are worthy of the worship. I love you and I glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Put those hands together wherever you are. Just give God some praise. Amen. Open up your mouth wherever you are and give him some glory. Amen, amen. Philippians 3 and 12 that I just read in your hearing, because the word of the Lord is blessed. Here we have Paul speaking, and he was saying to his people and to the churches, he said, listen, I have not already obtained, I'm not perfected, but I press forward. Too often, people of God, we have to realize that as we move through life, as we grow in Christianity, amen, we have to realize that we can no longer stay in the place of immaturity. We can no longer stay or remain in the place of babyhood. We can no longer stay infant in the spirit realm. Amen. Now, I'm not so much talking about those who just come into Christianity, because we have to give them time and place and room to grow. Amen. We're not speaking about that tonight. But what I am talking about is for those of us who have been saved, who've been walking with God a number of years, that we cannot continue to make excuses as to the reason why we're still in the same state. We're still thinking the same way. We're still acting the same way. We're still speaking the same way. There's no growth in our lives. Amen. And here Paul is saying, I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. He's saying here, I'm not perfect. Amen. None of us are perfect, but we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, who is our mediator. Thank God for Jesus. He is our mediator, so that when we do fall, when we do make a mistake, we have him to go to mediate for us. Amen. As we ask for forgiveness, then God sees the blood and he covers us in the blood and washes us clean in the blood. But, amen, when we ask for that forgiveness, we cannot continue to stay in that same state. We can't continue to remain the same. And too often, it's too many people that wish to remain the same. As long as I can ride on the coattails of grace, as long as I can ask for forgiveness, I have no intention on moving from point A to point B. I can just ask for forgiveness and everything will be all right. God understands. He knows all. He sees all. People say that all the time. And yes, he does. But it comes a point in time And it said right here that we have to take responsibility in this life called Christianity in our lives, where we have to move from immaturity to maturity, that we have to move from immorality to walking in a moral system, moral Christianity, moral thoughts and beliefs. Amen. Not that I've attained. We have to be in a place where we're in constant moving or constant striving towards the kingdom. And believe me, the kingdom is more than just going to church. Amen. And you've heard me say it before. It's more than just doing your weekly, monthly duty. We're talking about a lifestyle of constant. What happens when you walk outside of the four walls? 1 Corinthians 9:24 says this: remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You also must run in such a way that you will win. So in other words, the Bible speaks about that all of us have to work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. At the end of the day, when we all go see him face to face, it comes to a point where he's going to ask you, what have you done with the responsibility that I have given you? Have you matured? Is there any fruit on your tree? Or did you just dig your heels in and say, I'm just going to stay here and people got to understand and I don't have to change. They got to change around me because they don't know who I am and they just going to have to deal with it. If they don't like it, and they can go somewhere else. But that's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about changing, changing from your image, your likeness, into his image and his character, so that when he looks at you, he sees himself reflected back at him. And I have a question tonight. Is when God looks at you, does he see any portion of himself reflected back at him? Don't be so quick to answer that question. But we really need to take introspection tonight. When he looks at you, I'm not talking about all the accolades that everybody's giving you. I'm talking about when you get into that quiet, secret place. When the lights are off at the church and you're at your home, when you're in that quiet closet, that secret place, is he really pleased with you? When he looks at you, does he smile? Does he see himself? Does he see his character being shaped and formed in you? Or does he still see you? And a form of godliness, but no power. 1 Timothy 6:12-19 says, fight the good fight of faith, or fight the good fight for what we believe. I'm going to read that one again. Fight the good fight for what we believe. Hold tightly to the eternal life that God has given you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. Fight the good fight for what we believe. Don't let anybody come in, people of God, and change your belief. We have too many spirits in the atmosphere, too many erroneous doctrines that has been taught in the household of faith, to the point where when we read the truth, we will hold up the lie. We'll hold up the lie and say that the lie is the truth and say that the truth is a lie. Or we'll say, well, you know, that must be right because I did this once or twice and it seemed to be working in my life, so I'm just going to cast away what the Word of God says and I'm going to pick this up, what I heard over here or what I read in this book outside of the Bible. And nothing's wrong, people of God, with reading. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying be careful what you read. Be careful what you put in your eye gate, what you absorb. Because a lot of times people that are writing these books are writing something opposite to what the Bible or the Word of God is really testifying to. And we're eating, amen, of this stuff. We're eating from a different table. And then when it's time to stand up for truth and righteousness, when it is time to grab the unadulterated Word of God, it's muddled, it's mixed, and we're sitting up here preaching and teaching, but we're preaching and teaching someone else's doctrine instead of the doctrine of Jesus Christ or the doctrine of the apostles. He says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected. Now, we know that many times the churches when we were growing up, or at least when I was growing up, when they said, you got to be right, you got to be right, holy and right, I had in my mind that I had to be perfect. But that's not what the scripture is saying. He's saying that we are striving to maturity in Christ. We're striving to maturity in who he is. Amen? That's what he's saying tonight. And we can't get sidetracked. Amen. By anything else but knowing what Christ wants. And the only way that we can know and understand what he wants is that we have to continuously grow in our relationship with the Father. Hebrews 12 and 23 says this: you have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge of all people, and you have come to the spirits of the redeemed in heaven who have now been made perfect or now have been made mature. So our whole goal, amen, for living this life, and I think Andre Crouch wrote a song that said, living this kind of life, it's a good life, it's a sweet life. It's the kind of life that I like, living this kind of life. Living on the Lord's side, like I said before in times past or times teachings that I've done, being a Christian is not for the weak. I know people want to pretend, people want to put in their mind that being a Christian is a weak thing. If you're one, you have no strength, you have no power. But I beg to differ, because the greater one that lives on the inside of you has all power, amen, in heaven and earth and under the earth. And he lives on the inside of you. So what does that make you? Christianity is definitely not for the weak. So if God has chosen you, and he has, you didn't choose him, he chose you. If God has chosen you and put his hand upon your life, then know that there is something on the inside of you. There's a purpose that you have, a destiny to fulfill, an assignment, a task. Amen. That is going to change the very world. But all you have to do is just say yes. All you have to do is come into alignment with his will and his purpose for you. What he has for you, no one else can do. But we're too busy fighting the process. We're too busy questioning the process, because we're trying to make sure that that process is to our standard. We're trying to make sure that that process is not going to cause me to be too uncomfortable. I just want to stay right here. I just want to do just enough that I need to do. And as long as, I make it into the kingdom, that's all. And if you're asking me a little bit too much, we need to come back to the table and renegotiate. Christianity, people of God, is not about renegotiation. It is what it is. He gives us God Christ gives us his word. He's like, abide by my word. If you abide by my word, I will abide in you. Then when you ask what you will, it shall be done. But for many, we're too busy he's not abiding in us. We go to church for habitually, amen, but we're not going to church in relationship. So then when the test and the trial and the circumstances come and the winds blow, we don't have enough of him on the inside of us to combat that which is working on the outside. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Someone needs to continue to press on tonight. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. Amen. I know you're walking the floors at night. The situation seems like the walls are closing in on you. But listen, you got to move on. You got to press forward. You can't give up in the midst of this. How can you see greatness unless you allow greatness to come out of you? Greatness comes. You see who the character of people when they are pressed on every side. You see the true character or the true nature of a person when they're faced with a difficult task, when there are no other options. And for somebody out there, God is pressing around, pressing in on you because he's trying to make sure that you have no other options but him, because he knows what he put on the inside of you. You're struggling with it, but he knows what he's put on the inside of you, and therefore he's putting the pressure on you. He's making sure all the walls are closing in just enough, because as he's doing that, he's causing you to hit your knees. He's causing you to lay down on your face. He's causing you to turn that plate over. He's causing you to get in his word. He's causing you to cry out to him. And when you cry out to him, that is where you find him. Let's be honest, people of God. We don't find God in the good times always. We find him in the times of trouble. We find him in the times of struggle. We find him in the times of when we're wringing our hands. We find him in the times of pain. That's where we find him. That's where we find the goodness of who God is. That's where we find another level or another aspect of who the Father is. It's when we get into a hard place, when we get into a cave, when we feel like we almost want to die, that's where we find come on, let's read. Verse 30. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or laid hold of this. In other words, he's saying, I'm not a master of Christianity. I don't have a corner market on Jesus. No, I don't have it. He said, but the one thing I do know, or the one thing I do, I have to forget. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. Somebody tonight, amen, needs to quit trying to reach back for the past. Reach back for the form of glory. Many of us are too busy trying to reach back for our form of glory. Nothing's worse, people of God, than seeing someone who has passed their prime, who still thinks they got it going on, and it's 20 years down the road. Everything around them has changed, but they're still trying to hold on to that trophy of what I used to do. What I used to be. Remember when they used to call my name out. Remember when I was this. Remember when I was that. And they're so busy trying to remain in the past that they never step forward into the present, let alone into the future. And we still have a lot of Christians, amen, or some people, amen, who want to stay in the past because that's where they receive their glory. Here's the interesting thing about it. I thought when everything that we did for Christ, the Bible says anything you do for Christ will last. So if I'm doing it for Christ, then I know that it will speak for itself. I'm not speaking for myself. What I do in Christ or for Christ, it needs to speak for Christ. So if I'm trying to remain in my past and keep trying to tell people what I used to do and how I used to be, then I'm trying to reach back for my own personal glory and gain. And let's be faith, and let's be honest, you're only relevant as long as people can remember you. As they call them in the world, one-hit wonders. And some of us are one-hit wonders in Christianity because God used to use us mightily, but we never matured or reached for God in a new way seek after God harder than we ever had before, because we're still trying to shake our hands. We're still trying to shake our hair. We're still trying to wring our finger like we used to do, and God would move. But now we're doing that, and nothing is happening. And we're telling people, remember what I used to do? Remember, child, when I touched? Remember, child, when I prayed? Who cares? What can you do now? Is he a God of today? Yes, he is. Then I need to see the Jesus of today, not the Jesus of yesterday, not the Jesus of your yesterday. I need to see the Jesus of my today. Forgetting those things which are behind. Luke 9 and 62 says this, but Jesus told him, anyone, and I do mean anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Anyone who keeps talking about, I'm going to get around to, anyone who's trying to remain, well, I don't want to change. They just have to understand it. And, you know, I'm still working, you know, he's still working on me. You know what? God's working on everybody, but you have a responsibility to play in this hand, in this craftsmanship. He's not going to physically come down and shut your mouth when you're running your mouth too much. He's not going to physically come down and get you up out of someone's bed. He's not going to physically do that. The Holy Ghost on the inside of you begins to check you and says, you know what, you've said too much. You know what, you need to quit talking to this person. You know what, this ain't your husband. Leave him alone. You know what, you're flirting too much. Leave that alone. Shut that down. He will tell you when you are at that connection with him. Anyone that continually puts their hand or who puts their hand to the plow and continually looks back, amen, is not fit for the kingdom of God. See? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching. And reaching. In other words, heaven's not going to open up and all the blessings are going to fall in your lap. That's a lie that the enemy has told many of us because we say, I don't have to do anything. As long as I show up, that's all that matters. No, baby, there's some work that you have to do. You got to put your time in. You have to show yourself approved. You got to go through the process. Ah, Jesus, help me tonight. Hebrews 6 and 1 says this. So let us stop going over the basics of Christianity. I'm going to read that again. So let us stop going over the basics of Christianity again and again. I think I'm going to say that one last time, and I'm going to move on with this. So let us stop going over the basics of Christianity again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. In other words, you don't need to be saved 5 or 10 years and somebody's still trying to give you the basics of what you need to be doing. You need to read the word. You need to pray. You need to turn the plate down. You know that you have to put yourself in the positive light. You have to, the basics. You know you have to love your neighbor now. You can't be out there cussing and fussing. You can't be out there drinking, dipping, and tipping. You can't be out there clubbing and showing up on church on Sunday and trying to sing your song in the choir. You can't be doing that. Can't be living two lifestyles now. But you've been saved for a number of years. The basics of Christianity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, things that we're fighting over, things that the Bible has already proven itself over and over and over and over again, and we're still caught up in the, well, we don't do it like this. If we're supposed to do it like this, who cares? Just give me Jesus. Can somebody please give me Jesus out here? Listen, we got to quit fighting over the little basic stuff and, again, push people on to maturity. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. I don't know about you people of God, but nowadays when you talk to folks, people always have in their conversation, I just don't understand. I don't understand. I don't get it. I can't see it. I don't know what they're talking about. It's so much confusion in the land, confusion in the atmosphere. And the bottom line for some is that they don't want to understand because if I tell you what the truth is, you can read the truth out to them verbatim, word for word, identical, and they'll still find a way to say that they don't understand. You don't want to understand. You don't want to come into maturity. You don't want to drop what you're doing. Well, you have to. It's always a case-by-case basis. You know what? In some situations, there is no case-by-case. There is only one case, and that case is Jesus Christ. And regardless of what I feel, regardless of what I think, when it comes down to the word of God, I have to submit to this word. And if you are a Christian, if you say that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you and God brings his truth to you, his revelation to you, I don't care how long you've been doing it or saying it or thinking it, if God, you need to nail it to the cross right then and there and submit to it. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. For surely, it says surely, we don't need to start all over again with the importance of turning away from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. Surely we don't need to keep repenting over the same stuff over and over again. Somewhere, someplace, you got to say, God, I want you more than I want it. I want you more than I want that, this or that, her or him, that lifestyle. I want you. Forgetting those things, verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching, constantly pressing forward to those things which are already ahead. If I remain the same, I will never get to the place of maturity. I will never get to the place of change. I will never get to the place of who he has already preordained me to be before the foundations of the world. Many of us, we struggle in this thing called change because we refuse, some of us, we can't see what God has called us to be, number one. For some of us, we struggle because we have seen what God has called us to be, and it isn't popular. It isn't pretty enough. There's not enough lights. There's not enough cameras. There's not enough bling bling. So we fight what he's called us to be because that means I have to lay down my will, my purpose, and pick up his design for my life. So I don't want to reach. I want to reach towards something else that's going to tickle my flesh. I'm going to reach towards something else that's going to fulfill my desire. But let me tell you this, people of God, when it's all said and done, you will never have complete satisfaction in your life, complete contentment, amen, in your life until you are doing exactly what God has ordained you to do. Amen, somebody. He says, let us. We have to understand that even as we move through this life, God will add to us, remove from us things out of our life to bring us into our complete destiny. So don't fight the process. Well, prophet, is that easier said than done? You don't understand. Oh, I understand very much. I understand more than you think. And the rest of us that are out there that have been walking with God for a long time understand more than you think. Everyone, and I do mean everyone, Jesus Christ himself knows what we're talking about. Everyone has had to give up something to gain more of him. Is it more important to stay the same? And if you are the same, are you really happy with that place? Are you really happy? Well, I don't know when I'm going to get it. I keep getting the prophetic word that I'm going to get it. You'll get it when you complete the process. Well, when will the process end? When you finally stop struggling with it. When I finally stop struggling, amen, and let me give you a tidbit, being a little transparent tonight, when I finally stop struggling with what God had called me to do, then things started becoming easy. When I started accepting, amen, his will for my life all the way, then things began to become easier. Because now when I pray, when I seek after him, my heart is to do the things that God has called me to do. My heart is to do what he wants me to do. And that is souls ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ, seeing to it that I fulfill my kingdom assignment, pushing others to fulfill their kingdom assignment. And what I love about God is that for just encouragement purposes, God will allow people's lives who you've touched in the past. He'll allow some to come across your pathway to let you know that everything you've done has not been in vain. You may not see everybody, and that's fine, but every once in a while, the Lord will let people to come across your path to say, you know what? It was your foundation. It was you pushing me. It was your prayers. It was your word. It was the word that God gave you that helped me to get to this place where I am now. Listen, people of God, my husband and I have testimonies where it's people that we saw in their rarest form, in their ugliest form, in the state of beginning, didn't even want God, didn't want to know who God's name was. Now, today, are preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, are now, today, serving in the church somewhere and living for him, not just pretending to live, but honestly living for him. Where's your testimony? Where's your fruit? Can anybody say that you gave them a word that helped them to hold on? Can anybody say that your prayers helped them to get to the next, to help them get to the next place in God? Can anybody say anything about you? Besides, well, you know, they was all right. They was cool. They was crazy, you know, those type of things. Can anybody say anything that has the name of Jesus attached to it, that it was something about them? They always preached Jesus. They always had him on their mind. It amazes me. It baffles me, people of God, how we'll have Christians around us and they won't even open up their mouth and even say, I prayed for something. Let someone even know they are elders or pastors or evangelists or leaders in the church. We got to get this together. How are people going to know him unless you open up their mouth and speak his name? We are living epistles read of men. And believe me, someone is reading your life as you speak. Well, I don't want to push Jesus down nobody's throat. We're not here to push Jesus down nobody's throat, but we're definitely going to talk about him. We're too busy trying to, for many, we're too busy trying to be ashamed of who he is. And you know why we're ashamed? Because we're not living the lifestyle that we claim that we are living. We have Christian in name only, but not in deed. So what am I saying tonight? Forgetting those things which are behind, reach forward to the things which are ahead. Press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Let us mature. Let us grow up. Let us accept responsibility for this thing called Christianity. Let us become relational with the Father. I want to bring it even a little bit more clearer. I'm going to switch this to the Message Bible. Same passage of Scripture, but we're going to make it a little bit more clear for some. Paul says this: steer clear of the barking dogs. I'm going to help somebody tonight. Leaders, if this is you, just repent and get yourself together. Steer clear of the barking dogs, those religious busybodies, all bark and no bite. Could quote 1,000 scriptures, but as soon as you step on their toe, you hear a whole other different language that ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. Soon as you cross them, they're somewhere trying to plan your demise, cut your legs out from under you, playing those political games. All bark, no bite. All they're interested in is appearances. It's the Bible talking, y'all. Nice, happy circumcisers. That's what I call them. In other words, they're just only interested in you looking good. As long as your outside is clean, we can care less about your inside.
We care less that God is looking at your heart. Oh, as long as you look the part, baby, that's all we care about. Or we're on the flip side of it where ain't nobody saved but them. Everything is a sin. They trying to crucify you for doing their own, ain't even living up to the standard that they could holding you to. Nice, happy circumcisers. Can't look like this. Can't say this. Got to look like, say that. Got to wear this. Got to wear that. Got to be, but you got to be holy. All holy. They can't put two scriptures, together. Shout all day long, but there's nothing to it. Because when I leave the house of God, I got to have some word. I got to have some wisdom. I got to have some knowledge to be able to fight this devil. I got to have some words, some knowledge to be able to lay aside every weight that continuously, easily besets me. I got to have enough power. I got to have enough words. I got to have his wisdom and his knowledge so that my character can change. The real believers, this book now, the real believers are the ones the Spirit of God leads. Listen now, are the ones the Spirit of God lead to work away at this ministry. Never about you, y'all. Never was. It's all about his ministry. The real believers are the ones the Spirit of God leads to work away at this ministry, filling the air with Christ's praise as we do it. We couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it. Anything that you're doing, you didn't do it on your own. God gave it to you. Your job, he gave it to you. The promotion, he gave it to you. The cars, the house, the bling bling, the spouse, the children, all the little extras and the little bells and whistles, he gave it to you. If your ministry is booming, people are coming in, guess what? He has his hand on it. It's about him. We couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it. Christ has got to be the focus, people of God. Many people, they fall astray because they forget it was God that got them there in the first place. When they were small, I think it was Samuel, he said, when you were yet small in your own eyes. And when we were small in our own eyes, when we were crying out to God for every little bitty thing, God worked on our behalf. But the minute that we start getting our footing up under us, getting some foundation up under us, letting people around us talk in our ear left and right about how wonderful and grand and magnificent we are, and the money started rolling in and the notoriety started coming in and folks started calling your name to preach here and preach there and preach everywhere else, you started slowly etching him out the picture. Forget to say thank you. Forget to say I love you. Forget to say I worship you. People need to see the leaders back worshiping again. I'm going to do a sigh. I'm going to pause, as my friend says here, parenthetically. People of God, leaders, your people need to see you in worship. Your people need to see the tears of praise and magnitude and honor for the Lord himself. They need to see the tears roll down your face sometimes. They need to see you get on your knees sometimes and not sit up there and look at everybody while they worshiping and almost like, ooh, look at what I've done. We don't need to see any of that. We need to see you worship sometimes. Bible says watch and pray. We need to see you lift up your hands sometimes. We need to see the power of God on you and need to see you broken sometimes. We couldn't carry this off by our own effort, and we know it. Even though we can list what many might think are impressive credentials. You know my pedigree, a legitimate birth, circumcised on the eighth day, an Israelite from the elite tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout adherent to God's law, a fiery defender of the purity of my religion, even to the point of persecuting Christians. Now, this is Paul giving his accolades here. Even to the point of persecuting Christians, a meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. In other words, Paul says, you know what? I counted everything as dung. I was at the top of my game in the world. He said, and yet I realized it means nothing because of Christ. And for many of us, we done got our accolades, we done got our degrees up under us, and we done forgot the anointing. It takes word and power. We need both people of God. We need the word of God, and we need power. Because all these things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. For some of you, you were at the top of your game. But when you came into Christ, he took some things away from you because you used those as your way to say, I have arrived. And God's saying, there will be no other glory but me. So I had to chop you down a little bit to bring you back up my way. Because for some of us, we were high up there. Some of us come from families where education is everything, the end-all and the all. And we're very prideful with that thing. He says this, compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. But some of us, we got to get that revelation that everything that we put our trust in is really insignificant because if the Lord allows a blink of his eyelash or a blink of his eye, everything is gone. Can you still rise from the ashes? Or was that you? In the house, the car, the job, the church, the ministry. Was that your brand, quote unquote? Or did you have a relationship with him? Because if you have a relationship with him, when it all goes away, you still remain standing. He said, I once thought I had, firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. That's powerful, people of God, because like I said before, when he looks at you, when the master looks at you, does he see himself reflected back at him? Or does he see more of your image? Or does he see more of someone else's handprints on your life? My prayer tonight, and it has been for the past several months, is God, I want you to be pleased with me. I want my life, when you look at my life, I want you to see yourself reflected back at you. I want to be righteous before you. Because let's face it, people of God, when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, we're all going to have to give an account for what we've done with this life. And I really want to make it more clear what we've done with his life that he's given us. He says, I didn't want some petty inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I can get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. Our righteousness is of him. My husband preached a message or some lessons, our contentment in Christ. And Paul is talking here about being content in him. With being at the top of his game before salvation, he said, now I'm more content than ever. Because let's also be honest, it's lonely at the top. And when you do it all by yourself, someone is always looking to replace you. But when God places you there, you don't have to worry about who's trying to crawl their way up behind you to take you out. Because God will always make sure that you stand. Ask David. David ran from the kingdom twice and was still remaining in control, but wasn't even sitting on the throne. As long as he kept God as his focus, his focal point, as long as he kept trusting in him, he says this, and I'm going to end that here. He says, so let's keep focused on the goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you has something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on. He said, stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for the same goal. For there are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. He said, I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All that want is easy street. They hate Christ's cross. But easy street is the dead end street. Those who live there make their belly their God. Belches are their praise. This is the book. And all they can think of is their appetite. And you know it's the truth. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of the Most High Heaven. You're a citizen. I'm a citizen. We're waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him. I don't know about you, people of God, but I want to keep pressing towards that goal, which is in Christ Jesus. I don't want to keep looking back, talking about what I used to do and where I used to be and how I'm tired of that. I need to be speaking into the dimension now, where I'm going dimensional-wise, where God has taken me dimensional. You need to, as I said before in my past messages, stretch out and think big. Get out the small thinking. Get out what happened long ago. Get out what happened yesterday. Move forward. Take a tally of what happened yesterday so you don't make the same mistake, but continually press forward. Come on, let us pray. Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, God, I glorify you. I worship you. I thank you. I magnify you. You are the Holy One to be praised and worshiped in this place. Father, even now, help us, your people, to stop looking back. Stop reliving the past. Stop reliving the hurts. Stop reliving the conversation. Stop reliving the dreams, the old dreams, and stop moving forward in the things of God. Start accepting our assignments and our purposes and our path and our destiny in you. Decide today to live a life that is holy and pleasing and acceptable to you in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you right now that you're changing mindset. We thank you right now you're taking away the blurred vision and making it clear tonight. We thank you, God, that you're unstopping deaf ears so that we can hear what the Spirit has to say unto us tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give your name all praise, glory, and honor. We thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Even now, Father, I ask those that are not saved, they repeat this after me. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart, change me now. Wash me, cleanse me, make me whole. I want to live for you. in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, man of God, woman of God, welcome into the body of Christ. I pray right now that you will become or be led to a Bible-believing teaching church that's teaching and training those to grow up in Christianity. Amen. Amen. Listen, I'm Prophetess Crystal. Amen. I thank each and every one of you that have joined me tonight in the chat room and on the switchboard for tonight's message. Join me next week for Prophetic Atmosphere right here, 7 p.m. again. Talk to you soon. Love each and every one of you. Be blessed.